Can artificial intelligence combine with brain to form a greater solution? Can AI improve brain's capabilities to control anything in the world? What else? Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Being Sober with Apoorv Khajuria. My name is Apoorv and this podcast contains all the things that is happening in the world. We bring you tech, self-improvement, brain food, entrepreneurship and interviews around the world. Also, much, much more. Tesla CEO Elon Musk has an unusual passion project. A neural tech company called Neuralink. Musk co-founded Neuralink in 2016 and the company remained relatively under the radar until 2017, when the Wall Street Journal broke the news that he had established the company to merge computers with human brains. Developing brain chips is a curious side hustle for a man who is simultaneously running Tesla, his space exploration company SpaceX, and the Boring Company, which Musk hopes will dig underground transit system for cities. But Neuralink zeroes in on one of the Musk's main fears, that is artificial intelligence. The entrepreneur has frequently been vocal about his worries that AI could one day come to overshadow the human race. He's founded a general purpose research organization called OpenAI, but Neuralink has a much more tangible futuristic goal of making AI-enabled device capable of interacting with people's brains. In July this year, Neuralink executives and Musk gave a presentation on the technology that firm has believed so far. Now, what is the interesting part? A big reveal was a tiny microchip that could theoretically or practically be implanted behind a person's ear with tiny threads containing electrodes fanning out in the brain. The chip sits behind the ear while electrodes are threaded into the brain. The concept isn't new. Scientists have already created a device capable of both interpreting brain activity and stimulating the neurons in the brain. A memorable demonstration of the technology was in 2012. When paralyzed patients were able to control a robotic arm. However, Elon Musk doesn't want to stick with what is already possible, he said, in classic Muskian style, that apart from treating neural conditions such as Parkinson's, he hopes that Neuralink could one day facilitate a symbiosis between humans and AI. He also excitedly announced that the company had successfully got a monkey to control a computer with its brain, and that Neuralink hopes to start human testing before the end of the year. There's definitely some bombastic points and some much more realistic aspects of the announcement, said Andrew Hoyers, an assistant professor of neurobiology at the University of California. He came away from Neuralink's presentations with the sense that Neuralink has improved on existing technologies in three significant ways, which we'll look into. Number 1. Floppy wires could move in within the brain without causing damage. The wires on Neuralink's proposed devices using Hoyers thinks could advance the field because of just floppy of how they are. The fact that they're using these flexible wires with a significant innovation, particularly if they're trying to get into the customers, said Hoyers. Each wire is slightly slimmer than the human hair and carries electrodes which are both able to detect brain activity and theoretically stimulate it. Stiff wires in the brain cause a lot of damage because the brain can move around. Hoyers pointed out that adding that a living brain is very soft, much softer than the specimens before you might even see in jars which have been stiffened and formaldehyde. It is a lot softer than jello, he said. Floppy wires like the ones Neuralink described could potentially be a better solution for any device that's going to be spent a long period embedded in someone's brain because they're less likely to inflame or damage the tissue. This is not a new technology. But it is recent enough that we don't know if these wires could last more than a couple of years. The technology has only been out for like a year or two. It could be that these flexible wires are less reliable, less robust, maybe they're gonna break, said Hayes. Dr. Riley Greens of Imperial College of London noted that the material used to make the threads is quite a commonly used polymer in the field. She also noticed that the electrodes themselves are made up of gold, which she calls a research level technology, rather than being ready to put into people's brain. Number 2. A sewing machine instead of a surgeon. Well, that's interesting. One big problem with floppy wires is that they can be difficult to thread into the brain. And for this, Neuralink has invented something entirely new. Now, what is that? The probes would be inserted into the brain by a device not dissimilar to a sewing machine, which would use a stiff needle to poke the threads into the place about 1 mm into the outer surface of the brain or the cortex. Hayes said the idea of this sewing machine is brand new and a significant innovation. He has had to perform insertions of similar devices into the brain of mice by hand. Doing this stuff by hand, these are very fine things. It is very hard to have a steady enough hand to do these things manually, he said. Specifically, Hayes was impressed by a feature on the machine which counteracts the fact that the human brains like to jiggle around. There's breathing, the heartbeat, and those two factors can move around the brain a little bit. The feature is called online motion correction and works by taking the video of the brain's blood vessels under a microscope and then using a robot to adjust the needle to move with those blood vessels. Interesting. The last aspect of Neuralink. Point 3. A super powered chip which translates brain activity. The final weapon of Neuralink's arsenal is a chip which will interpret the brain activity being picked up by the electrodes. There's a problem with getting electrical signals out of the brain, and that is that they're very small. And the farther they have used to travel down the thin wires, they're going to get distorted by noise, because there's always some electrical noise going on in the world around us. You want to be able to amplify and digitize the signal as close to the source as possible. From what they disclosed in the white paper, that chips look beyond state of the art. That's going to enable you to record more places with higher precision, he said. It's sort of like upgrading your TV to go from standard definition to high definition. To Dr. Riley Green, the most exciting thing about Neuralink isn't that any of these three technologies are groundbreaking in and of themselves, but rather they have been brought together. All those different aspects have been under development for quite some time, and it's nice to see them all come together at one device. Although, I would emphasize that don't get too excited about the monkeys. Although, Musk was able to tell the audience that Neuralink presentation that the technology had allowed a monkey to control a computer with his brain. Neither Hayes nor Green were massively surprised or impressed by this. So the company is not surfing the internet. The monkey is probably moving a cursor to move a little ball to try to match the target, said Hayes. Musk himself didn't give any detail about the Neuralink primate testing during the July presentation. There is something you can already do with traditional brain machine interface. I'm not surprised they have been able to achieve that, said Hayes. Doing it with a device is something that could be considered to be impressive or different based on the sheer size of being quite small or them using different sorts of materials. But it's too elucidate that unless they have actually written it down, shown the data, said Green. Neuralink most likely use giving robotic limbs to the feeling of touch. While Elon Musk is keen to extol the future merging of AI and human consciousness, Hayes and Green are more excited by the near-term benefits of the technology could bring. The first application you can imagine is better mental control of a robotic arm for someone who is paralyzed, said Hires. Green concurred with this, adding it to could be used by patients with locked-in syndrome to give them fine control over robotic limbs. Although, neural control of robotic limbs have been around since 2012, Neuralink's technology could enable the next big step, the touch feedback. Sometimes, the haptic feedback. Theoretically, this could be possible if Neuralink's chips recorded which areas of the brain are stimulated when we touch or interact with the world, and then use the electrodes that could transfer this information of using the robotic prosthesis to stimulate the sensation. Well, Neuralink's electron won't necessarily have to perfectly stimulate the right neurons to generate this feeling due to the brain's ability to adapt. The hope, and I think it's a reasonable hope, over time, the cortex is able to relearn and reassociate the electrical stimulation pattern, as long as there is a consistent relationship with what you're doing out in the world and what's going on in the brain. Elon Musk's goal of an AI-human hybrid probably won't happen. Now, let me correct you this. Both Hires and Green were more skeptical about Elon Musk's stated aim that Neuralink would one day facilitate the augmentation of human consciousness with artificial intelligence. However, Hires did not rule it out entirely. To get to the level of integrating with AI, this is where Elon sort of going off into aspirational fantasy land, said Hires. But it's hard to predict low technology, how technology is going to change 20 years, he added. According to Hires, we would need electrodes precise enough to stimulate individuals' neurons, and perhaps more importantly, a better understanding of the brain itself. We don't understand the rules by which the brain reorganizes to learn things, he said. Now, Green pointed towards the ethical problem which could arise in a world where Neuralink could connect AI to people's brain. The biggest concern is how you manage to actually protect information in that sort of interface, she said. She also believes that Neuralink's biggest hurdle comes long before it tries to put AI in anyone's brain. To get any of these devices into your brain, it's very, very high risk surgery, Green said. She said that the idea of a healthy person opting for brain surgery was troubling. People do it because they have several limitations and there's a potential there to improve their life. Doing it for fun is not a great idea. This doesn't rule out the possibility that Neuralink will become real. Applicable technology. It could potentially happen in Elon Musk's lifetime. Let us wait and watch. Hey everyone, a massive thanks to all of you for listening through to the end of this episode. I hope you're gonna share this episode because knowledge shared is knowledge doubled. I would also like your thoughts on this episode. And thank you for being a part of this community. I can't wait to share the next episode with you. Till then, stay sober, stay motivated. Namaste.